rise up to our feet as we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6. Okay, are we there? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Okay, we may be seated. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you again, Lord, for this another opportunity and another day, this blessing of being found in your holy presence. We thank you, Lord, that you purposed this day. You saw it, O Lord, before the foundations of the world, that we shall be gathered here, O Lord. And we thank you that it's not accidental. But Lord, you prepared this day. May you bless us, O Father God, as we in this place, fulfilling all righteousness, O Lord. As we look through your word, may you use me as a vessel to speak the word, Lord. Bless even the ears that are hearing, O Father, with understanding. Remember even our brethren who are in Rufunsa having the revival meetings with Brother Piri there, Lord. May you bless them. Give them victory, O Lord, as they are saving me. Other brethren meeting in other places, we commit them also into your hands, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Yeah, so we will continue with the series that you have been looking at concerning seeking the kingdom of God. So last time we touched on the subheading, the kingdom worship. So we are going to continue looking at worship in the kingdom of God. So in reference, we have looked at the scripture from the book of Matthew, how Jesus was teaching the disciples how they were supposed to pray. So, God bless you. All right, so he was saying, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he was giving a guide on the contents of prayer or how prayer was supposed to be done. When you read in verse 7 of the same chapter, Bible says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they were being instructed that when you are praying, don't use vain repetitions. There were people who were doing this, and these were called the heathens, who were thinking in their mind that by doing so, by their much speaking, then they are going to be heard. But Jesus says, don't be like them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Amen. So then, as he continues now, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what does it mean? Because other people, they have taken these verses and they have started reciting. Now, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. They take it that, that's what Jesus said. This is how we are supposed to be praying. So they will start reciting, actually. Also becomes vain repetitions, like which he said shouldn't be done. Because they keep on repeating those statements. But we need to have a revelation, we need to have an understanding. Because when we are coming to worship the Lord, we are coming to praise him, we need to praise him with understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember the scripture we read in the book of Psalms last time? We need to praise him with understanding. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, our Father, which art in heaven. So, this is how it is starting. So, there's a relationship. So there's a relationship. Right, so there's our Father, which art in heaven. So the one who is praying should also understand his or her position. So if you can call God as your Father, then it means you should be a son, a daughter of God, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the ones who are entitled to pray,
It is the sons and the daughters of God. They are the ones who are supposed to pray to to God. They are coming to pray. They should pray with understanding. The heathens, they were making vain repetitions, which becomes just like noise. Thinking that if maybe I shout too much, or if I'll pray for hours, then my prayers are going to be heard. But it doesn't work out like that. There are certain principles that have been put for prayer to be effective, or for the worship to be acceptable. Because it's not every worship that is acceptable before God. We saw an example of Cain and Abel in the Bible, that they were going to worship the Lord. So one's sacrifice that was taken was accepted, the other one it was rejected. So we saw that when Cain took what he had, it was not accepted. He took things from the ground, was rejected. Then Abel took the animal, it was accepted before God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But all of them, they had something in their hearts. They needed to go and worship. Cain also wanted to go and worship. Abel also wanted to go and worship. They appeared before God. But the worship that we present to God, or the sacrifice that we present to God, must be that which is acceptable before God. It shouldn't just be a sacrifice anyhow, but it should be something that should be acceptable before God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. This one. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And this sacrifice
should be holy.
And also, it should be acceptable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One, two, three. This thing is also not right. Okay, so our bodies are supposed to be presented as a living sacrifice. that to be holy, that to be acceptable, which is our reasonable sense. Hallelujah. So it's a service. It's something that has to be done. Praise be to God. The brother had mentioned, talking about duty, it comes back to duty here. This is a reasonable service. We are on duty to do this. There's a service that we need to offer. A service that we are supposed to do. Hallelujah. That's why we are that loyal priesthood. So, our bodies have to be a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable before God. And further, in verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's got to be a renewal of our minds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is the purpose of renewing the mind? We are told that ye may prove that what is that good. So there's got to be a proof, evidence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prove what is that good. And acceptable. And perfect will of God. So for us to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, our minds have to be transformed. Our minds have to be renewed. We don't just come to eat to him anyhow. As we have been warned, the way the heathens do, they will just maybe be speaking words, they'll be praying with vain repetitions, thinking that their prayers are going to be heard in that way. But that's not how we come. We come to God, praising him, worshiping him with understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So we need to have understanding. Our minds have to be transformed. They've got to be renewed. What is it that renews our minds? What is it that transforms our thinking? We get back to the word of God. Amen. In the kingdom, there are principles that have been set. There's the constitution that has been laid down. And being citizens of that kingdom, there are services that we are supposed to be doing, offering to the king. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of those is worshiping God. And as we are worshiping God, we don't just come to worship him anyhow. We need to worship him with understanding. Last time we looked at the magi's, we looked at the wise men. And we saw how they were approaching the worship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They took time to prepare themselves. They were studying the stars. They had knowledge. There's something that they were expecting. They were expecting the coming of the King of the Jews. So they were not idle, they were in expectation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they had understanding of what they were expecting. So they took their strength, they took their energy. They spend their time studying the stars. Till one day they saw a peculiar star.
Hallelujah.
And as they saw that star, it meant something to them. We say that other people could have also looked at that star. And then they just observed some changes that were there. They never had understanding of what was happening. But then, because they were focused and they were expectant, they started following the star. Because it was leading them somewhere. And they were there to provide the service. The service of worship. Worshipping with understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they started following the star. Until it led them where Jesus was born.
Praise be to God.
And we saw it from Matthew 2, the gifts that they had carried, the gold, the frankincense, Olubano. Then there was Maya. So there were those three things. They took those things with the revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It was not guesswork. They were carrying the correct gifts. They carried those gifts with understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When they went there to inquire, Herod heard about it. Then he was suspicious.
He was
also now suspicious. There's a king that has been born, somebody greater than me. I need to clear this person. So, told those people, okay, when you find, come and give me information also so that I can also come and worship him. But he could not mock God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God sees first the heart. Even before he accepts your gift, he accepts your worship, he has to accept you yourself. When you have been accepted, then you can bring your gift. So God had even seen the intentions of Herod that he didn't want to come with a genuine heart to worship. That's why after the wise men found him, they presented their gifts, God showed them the other way to say, go this way, you are not to go back to Herod. Hallelujah.
Amen.
why God has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. And he has revealed them to the babes. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So we need to trust in the Lord and not lean to our own understanding. So once you come with your own understanding, you miss it. Hallelujah. Just as we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been blessed with a message of this hour. And so many people who come, so many people have actually heard about this message of this hour. And others, they even come to church. They will hear of the mysteries of the things that were revealed and the things that are to happen. But others, their hearts are not prepared. They are worshiping God with their lips, with their mouths, but their hearts are far away. If they have the knowledge, okay, this will happen on this day and this, they will still miss it out. Hallelujah. Amen. God cannot be mocked. Herod went to inquire, and those scribes, the Pharisees, they had information, they even knew where these things were supposed to happen. But they missed it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God hides these things from the wise and the prudent. And reveals it to the babes. And he saw the heart of the wise men, and they even had the revelation. They carried the right gifts that were supposed to be taken. And so they carried gold, which was representing the deity, and there was frankincense, the service, and there was Maya, which representing the death. Jesus Christ was going to die for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And they were wise men. Because they had knowledge. They even had understanding. And they acted upon the knowledge and the understanding that they had. So they were wise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, coming back to Matthew, we are talking about the relationship. That our Father, who art in heaven. So there's a relationship between God and the worshiper. Hallelujah. So the one that is worshiping is either a son or a daughter of God. It's not a heathen. Because God doesn't just accept any worship anyhow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is holy. And everyone who nameth the name of the Lord should depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. Because in his kingdom, there is a certain culture. Those kingdoms, they've got cultures. They have a way of living, a way of speaking, they have got language, they've got a way of dressing. There's a certain culture in a kingdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So one of those things that are in the culture, or things that are in that constitution, or in those principles of the kingdom of God, it is holiness. Hallelujah. So our bodies have to be presented as a living sacrifice. They've got to be holy and acceptable. Hallelujah. Because it's not every worship that is acceptable. It's not everybody that comes to worship that will be accepted before God. So the body that is coming to worship God, or the person who is coming to worship God, should be somebody who has a mind that is transformed. Somebody who is born again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible tells us, unless one is born again, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot understand the kingdom of God. So there's got to be a new birth for you to see the kingdom of God. There's got to be a new birth for you to understand the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And as a citizen of the kingdom, you need to understand the principles. You need to understand the rules of the kingdom. Otherwise, you'll be a lawbreaker. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A citizen of Zambia, you need to understand the laws of the country of Zambia, isn't it? So that you don't break the rules. If you are driving on the road, you know that here we keep the left hand, left side. You need to be driving on the left. If they find you driving on the right, no matter how good you are at driving, you have broken the law. You'll be a dangerous driver. They'll give you, that is an offense. They'll arrest you or give you a charge. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, as a citizen, you need to abide by the law. They say stealing is not allowed. You enter into somebody's house, you pick something without permission, or somebody's field, you go and pick something or some fruits without permission, you'll be taken as a thief. You'll be charged because you are not following the laws. You are a law breaker. So in the kingdom of God, there are no law breakers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the people in the kingdom, they are holy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they are acceptable before God. And they are the ones who are supposed to be worshipping Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Isaiah 6, as we read last time, showed us the culture that is in heaven. Let's look at it again. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I saw the Lord.
Amen.
Very important also here to take note. It doesn't say I saw the Lord's. He says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Hallelujah. It was only one Lord, isn't it? And he was on his throne. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With the two he covered his face. And with the two he covered his feet. And with the two he did fly. So those seraphims had wings, two covering the first, two covering the feet, and two were used for flying. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is the culture that we see in heaven. There is worship there. And these seraphims, these are they are holy. They have no, they don't have spots. But they are covering their faces. They are covering their feet. Because they are in the presence of the Lord. And they are crying one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the God that we are serving. He is holy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So even as we are approaching his throne, as we are coming into his presence, we need to approach him with that understanding that he is the Holy God. If angels can cover their faces, they are spotless, they don't have sins, but they were covering themselves. It tells us how great, how holy the Lord is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we are serving that holy God. Amen.
Amen.
And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So after he sees the glory of God, in the presence of the Lord, he felt guilty. So he was saying, "Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among the people with unclean lips." For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can't enter into the presence of God and be the same. When you come into the presence of God, you have an experience in the presence of God, your life changes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Isaiah, when he saw this glory of God, then he felt guilty. He says, "Oh, I'm undone. War is me." I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm guilty. I dwell among people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the presence of God makes one who is in sin to feel that guiltiness. And Isaiah felt that guilty. And he couldn't keep that guilty. But he had to make a confession. Hallelujah. And that confession, he was sincere before God. Who is me? I'm unclean. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's when we are coming in the presence of God, coming with confession. We need to come with sincerity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to come with your whole heart. Not halfway. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to bring your whole heart. Then when God looks at your heart, that is sincerely confessing, he does something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if you are not sincerely confessing before God, then God cannot accept you. Then your sacrifice cannot be accepted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he has standards, or has principles of the sacrifices that have to be brought to him. He doesn't just accept anything anyhow. It has to be in line with the principles or with the laws of his kingdom. Anything that breaks the laws of his kingdom is not acceptable before him. Amen. That's why we are not just a bunch of religious people just coming together to fulfill a tradition of coming when it's a Sunday, I need to carry a Bible and go to church like everyone does. But we need to come to God with a revelation. We need to come to him with understanding. We Then as we worship him, we can worship him in the right way. So that our worship can be acceptable before him. Amen. Because our worship shouldn't be in vain. Imagine you come from home, you left what you are doing, then you come in church and you come to worship in vain. It shouldn't be like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The worship should, when we have come into the house of God, we should even be able to say, it is well that I came into the house of God. Because his presence has touched me. My life has been touched by the Lord. I've been made better than the way I came in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So as we continue here, after Isaiah made his confession, verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Which he had taken with the tongs of the altar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So after the confession, then one of the seraphims flew. Had to fly. Having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. It is the mouth that was guilty. Hallelujah. See how he was confessing. I dwell among the people of unclean lips and have unclean lips. Now because he is sincerely confessing, the seraphim comes with that call. The call that was life. Hallelujah. And laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, thy lips. And thine iniquity is taken away. And thy sin purged. Hallelujah. So it's that call of fire that touched the prophet, making him as pure could be. The iniquity was taken away. The sin was purged. Because he had made a confession. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So confession comes before the cleansing. It's a process of preparation of a worshiper. Hallelujah. There has to be a confession. Then the cleansing. When you are cleansed, that's what brings the holiness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the iniquity is taken away and the sin is purged. Then in verse 8, what do we see? I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? There was now the commission. the duty, the service. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now he's being asked, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So initially, he was not ready to say send me. Because he was guilty of sin. He was guilty with iniquity. And he knew that he cannot be acceptable servant of God. He cannot be acceptable to do a service for God. So he had to make his confession. After making a sincere confession, God saw his sincerity. There was a cleansing. All the guilty was gone. He was now a vessel that was ready to be sent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell these people. And he said, go and tell these people. So a commission was now given. Because he was now in a state that he was ready to go for service. So he was sent. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he could not be presented, or he could not have gone to save the Lord if he still had that guiltiness. But the guilty had to go. He was supposed to be acceptable. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see the culture which was there. The picture of those angels worshiping God. The language which was there, the cry was holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. And Isaiah, when he saw that, that was a culture that was supposed to come upon his life. As a faithful servant or a faithful worshiper of God. But for that culture to come upon him, he had to make a confession. And God saw that sincerity in him. The sin was taken away, the guilt was taken away. Then he was given the commission so that he can provide that service. Because now he was an acceptable vessel to go and do that service of God. It was that will of God who is in heaven, who wanted his will to be manifested here on earth through a vessel. But the vessel had to be a right vessel. Amen.
Amen.
We get back to Matthew 6, where we came from. I hope we are able to pick something from this connection. Okay, so back to Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we have seen that between God and the worshiper, there's got to be that relationship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So for us to be the sons of God, we saw that we've got to be born again. And when you are born again, we are born again of the incorruptible seed, of the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Such same word that is in his kingdom, the law that is in his kingdom, we are born to that word. The word that is pure, that is incorruptible. That which lives and abides forever. We are born of that. Amen. When we are born of that, then we can worship God. Because we are not lawbreakers. We are not breakers of the law. We are people who live according to the law of the word of the Lord. So when we come to worship Him with understanding, then He can accept our worship. Because we are duty bound, we are supposed to do a service. We are on a duty to worship the Lord. Because God has to be worshipped. Amen. It's not an option for us. We are commanded to worship the Lord. Because He is the King. Praise be to God. And we thank Him that though He is the King, but there is that close relationship with us. He is our Father. What a blessing it is. So, He is our Father. We are His sons and daughters. And hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. Hallelujah. He is God who doesn't break His word. Whatever He has promised is what He does. Because if He doesn't fulfill what He has said, then it would degrade His name, isn't it? But He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever He has promised us, He keeps His promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So His name is holy. So if He is holy, even the worshippers also are supposed to be holy, because He's not accepting the worship from filthy people. Hallelujah. Brother Ted can read us from Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Verse 8. Hallelujah. Read it again louder. I've heard, the people are drawing nigh to God with their mouths. They are worshipping him with their lips. Where are their hearts? Their hearts are far away from him. Continue reading, brother, from there. In what? In vain they do worship. Hallelujah. So if you are coming closer to God just by mouth,
there
are good people who are good at talking, eh? You can talk about godly things and what. Others, they have even studied theology, they can tell you things about Bible history and what. And they worship God by their lips. They can even come in a gathering the way we are gathered. When we are gathering, it will be brothers and sisters. We are together. We have come to do what? To worship the Lord, isn't it? And when we sing, we say, yes, we sang today. With brothers and sisters. Yes, they are one malero. We have worshipped God with our lips, isn't it? But then, there is another area that God wants to see. It goes deeper than that. Where our eyes cannot see, our ears may not be able to hear. God hears louder. His eyes are able to see. It goes into the heart. Hallelujah. Because by him service, you can sing even a special song. You come and sing a special song and it sounds a bit nice. But your heart is far away from God. Then we are told that such people who do that, in vain do they worship God. Hallelujah. So we don't want to be vain worshippers of God. We need to be sincere worshippers of God. Worshippers from the bottom of our hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It has to come from the abundance of the heart. Then when the lips speak, let them be a testimony of what is in your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not playing hide and seek. On your mouth, you are a believer. The lips, you are a believer. But in the heart, you are an unbeliever. It's not supposed to be like that. We need to be people who are born again. Who have died from the old nature. Who are not conformed to the world, but have been transformed from the world by the renewing of our minds. Our minds have to be renewed by the word of God. Things of the world should remain in the world.
Amen.
But as we come to worship God, we should worship him with understanding. And we should be people who are a living sacrifice. You are dead of the worldly things. God has cleansed you. You have become holy. You are filled with his spirit and you are acceptable before God. So that you can offer a service of worship unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you say holy, 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 God should be able to say that, yes, my son, my daughter is worshiping me, holy, holy,
holy.
Not the lips are saying holy, the heart is somewhere else.
Then it means we are hypocrites if we do that.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But let's be humble servants of God, sons and daughters of God, that these angels were covering their face with reverence. Let's be reverent in the presence of God. And they covered their feet. Humbleness. Hallelujah. We need to be humble people. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Even Moses had to remove his shoes because he was standing in the presence of God.
Where he was standing, it was the holy ground.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to be humble people.
Then with the two, they did fly. Prophet tells us that that is action. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they were acting, they were in action. They were not idle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there are sins that one can commit. There are sins that one would commit by doing something. And there are sins that one will do because of omission. Omission, not doing what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the Bible says men ought to pray always, if you are not praying, you have sinned because you are supposed to be praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, do not stop this manner of coming together where you are supposed to be coming for fellowship. You have missed. You are at home when there's nothing that you are doing. You are supposed to be in church. You haven't come to church. You have sinned. So we are not supposed to be idol church or idol worshippers. We need to be people who are active. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So he is a wonderful God. We need to understand him. And Isaiah told us, because he saw one on the throne, so we are able to see that there's only one God. So we know the God that we are worshiping, he is one God. Don't worship three gods, but we worship one God. So others, when they are coming to worship God, they see the Father there, they see the Son there, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, others, they believe in Trinity. They believe there's God in the Father, God in the Son, God in the Holy Spirit. They even put a symbol, others, of God in the Father with the face of an old man. Here they'll put the Son, and there they'll put a dove. That we have the revelation. The Bible says there's only one God.
And we have seen the one that Isaiah saw on the throne. Did he see three thrones? One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit? He saw one upon the throne. Hallelujah. So we believe in one God, who is our Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need to understand the God that we are worshiping. So it's one God who is spirit, he's not a human being. But he has been working in offices. Fatherhood open, also operated in the office of the Son. And we know how the Son, how do we say Jesus was God? Because he was both God and man, 100% God, then he was also man. Because God incarnated in him. The Godhead bodily dwelled in him, as Colossians tells us. Fulfilling the title of Emmanuel, God with us, God among us. So it was that Godhead bodily inside that body which he had made, as Hebrews 10, I think should be verse 5, tells us about that body that he had prepared. The body has prepared before me. So there's a body, Jesus, then the body was in him. Amen. But it's the spirit. Because others will be asking, oh, but what remains in heaven? What is everyone? So, simplest example that can be given is maybe we get a common thing, we are cooking oil. So, I'll get a 5 liter of cooking oil, and I get maybe 1 liter from 5 liter, I put in another container. The same substance that was in the 5 liter is the same substance that will be in the 1 liter. That's just fresh. So that's why Jesus had the fullness of God in him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And as we are winding up, let me summarize with this scripture from the book of John chapter 4. Okay, let's go to verse 20. John 4, verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in these mountains. And ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Hallelujah. It's a new that they were worshiping in Jerusalem. Okay. Ye worship ye know not what. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember the emphasis? We said you need to know what you are worshiping. You need to understand. And then Jesus is telling this woman, ye worship ye know not what. Or you say you are worshiping what you don't know. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But when we are worshiping, we need to know what we are worshiping.
That's why we've got to praise him according to Psalms with understanding. So we are worshiping this one God. And as we are coming to worshiping this God, we know who this God is. Through the principles that he has given us to reveal himself, which is by his word. Praise be to God. And as we come, there's that relationship. He is our Father, we are his sons and daughters. Jesus saith unto a woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this woman was told, you don't know what you're worshiping. People were going to the temple to go and worship, but they didn't have the revelation. They didn't understand what they were doing. That Jesus is saying, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers. So if they are true worshippers, then they should be false worshippers also, isn't it? And we need to be among the true worshippers. We don't need to be false worshippers. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So we are not worshiping God in the flesh. We've got to worship him in the spirit and in the truth. We have his word of truth that guides us how to worship this God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's in the spirit and in truth. Because God, he is spirit. He is not flesh. And the ones who are worshipping him should worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we need to have understanding. We understand the truth so that we can worship him in truth. And we worship him in the spirit. Because in the flesh, we cannot please God. But we need to be in the spirit. To be carnally minded is enmity with God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But we need to be spiritual. As spiritual worshippers. So one more scripture as I close. I thought I'd finish so early, but felt led to talk about this thing. So let me just read this one as we are winding up. All right, so as we are
Closing, we read also this one, Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed, thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Justified than the other one. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, one thing I wanted to also emphasize, I talked about humbleness. As we come to the in the presence of the Lord, we need to reverence Him. We need to be humble before Him. Okay, so we heard about these two people went to pray. Another one was boastful, saying, I'm not like this one. This one is a sinner. Okay, me, I'm not like other people who are adulterers. Even like this publican. Me, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of what I possess. So, he was boastful. And then the other one, sincerely, had this burden, lifted his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast, praying unto God to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we are told that this one went to his house more justified rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself is going to be abased. And him who humbles himself is the one that will be exalted. So God looks at the hearts of the people. Hallelujah. So don't be a judge of your brother, a judge of your sister. Even as we are coming to pray, we are worshiping together. Sometimes you can develop pride and you start judging others. I'm not like this brother, not like this sister. Me, I do ABCD, I do ABCD. Then there's your brother there, has gone sincere before God. God has seen his heart. So we are warned that let everyone who thinks that he standeth take heed lest he falls. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we are coming to God, we need to come to God as babies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like what Brother Branham was saying at some point, says sometimes, yeah, it's good to just go to God like, just like a baby. As he was giving certain examples of his experiences that he had in his ministry. So let's learn to be humble as we are reverencing God, as we are worshippers. Don't break the laws. Because these laws are the ones that tells us to forgive one another. If there's something, like we mentioned last time, that you haven't made right, before you bring your gift in the presence of God, you go back and make things right. That's when you come back and offer your gift. So as you are coming to the presence of God, things should be settled. You come with a transformed mind, not with your own mind, which is in the flesh. So this other one was in the flesh, justifying himself. The other one was broken-hearted, and God would see his sincerity, and he was more justified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let our worship, our prayers, let them have love. So we are saying, we are praying, worshiping with understanding. God himself is love. So we need to have that love. Yeah, so if God allows, I think, we'll make another teaching on that. Where I think we can go and look in details of these things. For today, we are going to end here. Shall we rise up to our feet? Amen.